the iPhone Photo Show. Jefferson Graham is here with the one and only Doc Rock from the beautiful island of Oahu.
Thank you. It is nice weather today, finally. It had been raining like crazy for like the last month. I left home, came back, still raining. It's finally chilled now.
So well, thanks for being here. We're going to do 10 hidden iPhone camera menu features that people need to know about. Ronnie is saying hello from Laguna Woods. So hi, Ronnie. And we've got Roy, who is saying hi from Arizona. So hi, Roy. And let's see who else is here. We have Debbie. Debbie's saying hi from Southern California. So hi, Debbie. And hopefully we'll have more people as well. If you don't know Doc, you need to. Doc is one of the great trainers at eCam, the eCam Live Network. And he also has a YouTube show where he shows off gear all the time. In the last week, what have you shown, Doc?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. So I did a live demo today. It's every Friday. I do a live demo, which basically helps people figure out their way around how to use eCam, because I found that if we do the demo weekly, two things will happen. One, people will start to learn certain things by muscle memory. And then the second side of it is someone will ask a question of something that I have never thought of, and then I have to figure it out on the fly, and therefore it makes me quicker to do all of this stuff. So I like doing that live demo every Friday on my eCam live channel.
At, I believe, 11 a.m. California time, right?
Correct.
Something like that. As he calls it, daytime. let's see. Okay, so we have another comment that watches me on Mark Thompson's show all the time. Great. Thank you so much. And we'll do a guitar song today and send in your request. Yes, Doc.
So here's what's cool. It says Makai Kali'i, which is pretty much a Hawaiian name, just checking, because that totally fits. Makai is the ocean. You got mountain, Mauka, Makai, ocean. And then Kali'i, I can't translate in my head right now, but it'll come to me.
All right. I think we should jump in and I should talk about this list that I put together. The thing cracks me up is that the Apple iPhone is so easy to use. All you have to do is click on a button and it just works. And that's great when it does. Then they throw all these hidden features in there and most people have no idea what the stuff is in there. And I have stumbled onto a whole lot of hidden menu items that I'd like to go over. So I'm going to share my screen now, and I've got the master here with me. So he's going to remind me. Here we go. I think I know it well. And for audio listeners, ignore all that. But the video people have a preview of the newsletter that will be out tomorrow morning, 10 hidden features. So I'm just going to run by them, and then we'll go talk about them with Doc. Burst mode. Does everybody know how to do burst mode? You can actually stop action with your iPhone for summer sports shots or for anything. And we'll talk about how to do that. Do you know that you could take photos and video at the same time? That is a really great thing that I stumbled onto that is a big lifesaver, because I used to just do screen grabs. Who hates having a selfie when you're wearing a t-shirt and the letters on your shirt are backwards? So I have a fix for that. Do you know that you're taking a photo of somebody, of something, somebody jumps into your shot and you're wishing you can get rid of them? You can wipe them clean with live photos. We'll talk about that. I'm a big believer in using the timer for better selfies because it's really hard to have your arm out all the way and to compose it and get your finger on that shutter button. You can fix the lighting with the exposure control that most people don't really know about, that you can go up two stops and down two stops, which is a big help. You know, the iPhone is great when everything's perfect, but sometimes it's not, as in these images of stained glass windows in a church, which I fixed by just going down. Who tags photos in the Photos app? It is so much easier to find people if you're willing to take the time and identify them a lot easier. Do you do headshots in portrait mode? I do it all the time. If you're willing to have a black and white portrait, Which I think you should, because I think it really pops in social media. So that's one thing you could do. You could change the crop of a photo after you've taken it, which is fantastic. I didn't get to do that when I was growing up. What I had was what I had. But you could take a regular photo at 69 and turn it into square. And, of course, dramatically improve photos with any edit. That's my list. We're back. Okay. We're supposed to be back again.
You're good. You're right.
What we're seeing? Oh, yeah, because I'm not in the cam. So, okay. There we are. Okay. So that's my list. What's your reaction, Doc, to the list I put together?
Here's the best part about that list is two things. One, I have most of those settings already set because I spend a lot of time playing with the camera. But even having those settings set, sometimes you forget they're there. So I love these because you will remember. Right? You know, it'll help you remember to do these things. And one of the ones you mentioned, which I do all the time when I use my watch, but I don't always do it when I use my camera, is to take the selfie with the self timer, right? If I'm doing it with my hand, I just take it. But when I'm doing it where I have the phone set up somewhere, tripod, whatever, and then I'm triggering it with my watch, I always use the 3 seconds. So you're right. Like that's, yeah, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be great to go down there and get those.
I do 10 seconds because I don't think 3 is enough time, particularly for a group shot. Definitely for a group shot, 3 seconds does not cut it. It's just too, you've got too much stuff going on. You got 6 people, you got to get them all in the frame, and you got to get your arm out here. 10 seconds it is. Now, I will say that I also have a Galaxy here. Because I went out and bought the Galaxy phone so I would know how to do everything in there. And they have 3 seconds, 5 seconds, and 10 seconds. 5 seconds, really good. 5 seconds.
Yeah, because it's better. Sometimes I feel 10 is too, 3 is too short in many cases, and 5 is too long. Here's one that I want Apple to just do. Either give me gesture control, because everything else has it. My Insta360 stuff all has it. My DJI stuff all has it. Or give me ability to let another phone that's in the, you know, Bluetooth LE proximity act as the trigger. So I can have one posted up, and then anybody hanging with me that's in my contact list or whatever, hey, you press it on your phone, we'll smile, and your hand's behind my back, so you don't really see you pressing it. You know what I mean? Like a friend trigger. Like those would all be good. Of course, probably the only reason why we don't have it is they have to worry about the safety of these nefarious type people that do dumb stuff, which is why we can't have nice things.
I want to encourage all the viewers to submit your questions. We will take them, and they could be about the iPhone camera menu. It could be about anything that you want to talk about today that's of a tech, in the tech category that we would, iPhone photography would be the best idea. Let's talk about the 10 things here. So we're going to start with burst mode. There are two ways to do burst mode, and it's very, very finicky. Okay, so you put your finger on the shutter and you swipe it to the left. If you hold your finger down, it will start recording a video. Have you experienced that, Doc?
Yes. I use two ways to do that. I either trigger it with the button itself, or I trigger it with the volume button. Right. And then I love the fact that you can hold and swipe. It is, oh, so good.
Yeah, the easiest thing is to hold the camera. For those of you watching our video, hold the camera, put your finger on the top volume button, and hold it down to do burst. A lot easier than putting your finger on the white button, though the white button does work. You also have to make sure that in the camera menu, general settings, camera, you make sure to say use volume for burst mode, because unless you put that in there, you can't do it. One of those things that drives me crazy about Apple menus. Let's talk about shooting photos and video. That is so hidden. And basically, it's one of those things you got to know about. You turn on video and you have a red record button. Now, once you start recording, a white photo button comes up. Doesn't tell you what it's there, but it's there. And you can start snapping photos while you're doing the video. I would worry, though, sometimes about camera shake on that. But I haven't really had that problem, and it's certainly sharper than the frame grab that I used to do. I used to do a frame grab, then I'd crop the frame grab and do something with it. So this is a lot better.
Yes, I do use that a lot. And the other one of the other reasons why I use it a lot is when you're making photos for Instagram stories, you get a bigger photo, right? So it's not larger in the sense of like the overall size of the photo, but I mean for what you're going to share on the internet, it's a better crop, if you will. So I tend to press video mode and then take pictures while you're doing it. Also, really good if you're trying to do something with dogs or little children's or any type of action-oriented stuff. So I like that feature. One thing I wanted to say about the volume button, I have mine set for volume up is the burst mode, volume down is to trigger the camera. But if you hold the bottom down one, it will start a video.
All right. Angela Andrew has said hi. And I don't know if you know Angela. She's a friend of mine, lives in San Diego and works for Mileo.
We met in Vegas. Funny enough, and because she wants to learn how to use Ecamm too. And I was watching her because I just installed Mileo on this studio, and I'm trying to decide whether I want to put the library on the computer or on the NAS and which way would work better. And so legit, I was doing that right before we started.
Okay, well, she's the one. She could tell you all about it. And she did an episode of PhotoWalks TV with me in San Diego. And we'll do the sequel in Honolulu, right? With you.
Let's go.
All right. One quick thing to say about the burst is that for all the years that I was at USA Today, probably the last 10, every 4th of July, I did how to shoot the fireworks on your smartphone photo. Over and over and over again. And luckily, I don't have to write that article anymore, but it's really easy now. You want to shoot fireworks? Shoot video. You'll get the whole thing. You're going to get the whole thing. And then you want to get some stills? While you're recording the video, just click, 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 click. And it's great. It's going to be wonderful. So that's what I have to say about that.
Fireworks, I suggest if you remember, because sometimes I forget, but if you remember, shoot it at 4K 60 or 1080 240. Shoot it at 4K 60, you get better pictures. But if you shoot it at 1080 240, you could do some really incredible stuff with the slow-mo.
Yeah, really slow. Roy wants to know if it stops the video from working. It does not, Roy. It does not do that. And Roy, thanks for being here. We got a few comments. Mario, I had the Galaxy S22 Ultra, and I really like that I can use the S Pen to snap a picture. That's something I don't have. So I have the S21. And our friend Makai says on our iPhone SE, his iPhone SE second generation, holding the volume button only does movies mode, which is one of the things that drives you crazy about Apple. You hope that whatever the current version is works on all of them, but they end up changing their mind and doing things differently.
I think the reason for that is the volume down does actually trigger photo or movie, but if you go into preferences, you should be able to set burst mode to the volume up button. I'm pretty positive you can do that. Double check while we're here because I'm curious.
Okay. Debbie asks, she likes the phone app for macros, but her favorite camera app is ReLens. I'm not familiar with ReLens. I know Reflex and ReHeld. Doc, are you familiar with ReLens?
Only the ReHeld and Reflex. I'm assuming it's the same company just because of their naming convention. But yes, never really mess with the ReLens side of it. So now I'm going to go and check it out.
Okay, well, Debbie, tell us more about it while we jump into the next thing. The backward selfie. Okay, so if we were taking a picture of Doc right now, it would say IH on his hat instead of HI, right? And
yes.
It's in the camera menu. You open up, general settings, camera, and then make sure that in the camera thing, mirror selfie is off, not on, but off, and that will solve the problem. I know that Doc does more selfies than I do. Have you had a lot of problems with this?
No, not really, because even if I do it wrong, I always flip it before I upgrade it. But you're right. The funny thing about the whole mirror selfie thing, it all started because, like, as Zoom got more popular, like, those of us that have been shooting video forever, we always know that this is the wrong hand. right? This we just how we learned it. Now so many people are new to this. They've made it so you can flip the camera, but it's disconcerting because you hold up the same hand and the same hand shows up a screen. It's weird to me. I actually prefer it the old school traditional way just because I've been doing it that way for years longer than I wish to admit.
Okay. Our next one is how to erase people. So in live photos, that was a gimmick that started off to add a few seconds of video to your image. And which is great, it's fun, but the best feature is something called long exposure, where you could make your water flowy and milky and it looks gorgeous. You could also use it to erase people in certain situations. It's a hit and miss thing. I did an image the other day, took a picture of somebody on the Manhattan Beach Pier, went to long exposure, boom, they're gone. And I did the same thing in Paris. I was in front of the Arc de Triomphe. I erased people and cars. It's hit and miss with this. But when it works really well. What's your experience, my friend?
It's funny. I've done this many times with a real camera. I shouldn't say real camera because this camera is amazing. But with a, you know, single lens reflex or mirrorless camera using a 10-stop ND and shooting like, you know, 20 seconds.
Low shutter, right?
Yeah, then nobody's there. But I never really thought about doing it with my phone. I have done long exposures with live photo, but I've never done it to remove people. So now I'm going to go test that one out because that one is new to me.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of fun. The timer, we talked about timer for selfies, so we already did that one. We have a few other comments coming in. Debbie says, I had to find it because Focus went with a crazy subscription pricing. There are lots of lenses to use, different cameras. I'm still finding more things that it does. I hate apps with the subscriptions. Speaking of erasing people, there's something called Photo Erase somebody was recommending, so I downloaded it. $3 a week. $3 every week. You do that. That's $150 a year, right? Did I get that right? Or is it $156 a year? I'm not paying that for some app.
That's, you know, so funny. So here's, I guess this is different. After Creative Cloud came out, I am more than happy to pay for a subscription for one thing, but it has to be worth it. I will definitely think longer before you just download the app, trigger download, like whatever. Yeah. This is cool. I will be okay. I'm okay with subscriptions for the simple reason that when we got Photoshop the way we have it now with Creative Cloud, it gets updated constantly.
Well, back in okay, the let's day, just let me just say that Photoshop is a utility. It's a utility. It's not some silly app to change faces and things. This is something that in our jobs we have to have.
Right, but like a silly app like what you're talking about where you're going to use it once in a blue moon, that's a little bit, not happening. Right. I would never do that. So, yeah, I think you're right. It depends on what it's doing, how much am I going to use it. Like Captions AI totally went pro right away. I use that app every single day, and I don't mind. But, I mean, I also would like it if they gave me a chance to give them 151 crack. I probably would.
Yeah, and our friend Frederick loves Canva. And he does the pro version of that one. Makai says, I found the burst mode in his SE settings, and it was off to access the volume button. Mahalo, thank you. That's great. And Debbie says that $4 a week for Focus. $4 a week. That's $200 a year for a little app. I don't think so. Yeah, so hopefully, Debbie, you're getting something out of it. All right. So exposure control. Hidden, hidden, hidden. Now, a lot of people know they could put their finger on the screen and a little box will come up and they could play with doing the exposure thing there. You get a lot more fine tuning when you go into the camera menu and you have exposure going down two stops or up two stops. For most people don't even know the camera menu is there. So let's just remind them, you open up your app, you're in camera, you have to be in photo, there's a caret right in the middle, and there it is for people watching. The caret, and then there is that little menu of things, the timer is in there and other things. So exposure control, Doc, use it?
Yes, all the time. Matter of fact, I just realized that I am exposure at plus three. I don't know if something I was doing the last time, I got to put it back to normal. But yes, I use it all the time.
Okay. I'm usually down a half a stop. I like to underexpose it and make the colors just a little richer.
Correct. And so, I have no idea why I adjusted it to plus three. It was for something. But normally, I'm with you. I think one thing in night photography, and here's really cool about the exposure control, night photography, you should always just stop it down a little bit because the camera in the mobile phones overcorrect. So it's better to pull it down and then adjust it, especially if you shoot in the raw settings, which I hope most people.
And of course, the great thing is you can change it later.
100%.
Todd joined a few minutes late. Oh, let me put that up. Thank you for being here, Todd. Did you mention reversing the direction to stop a pano? No, but we will. So Todd gave me a great tip, which is that, you know, I talk about shooting a pano and going from one side to the next and then clicking the shutter to stop. But he says, you don't have to do that. You just go straight across and then reverse direction and it will stop a pano. I think that's a great tip. Doc, are you, so you know, good. You're living in Hawaii, man. You should be doing a lot of panos.
I do panels, but not the way you would think. I do panels vertically like this. I start at the sand, and then I come up the sunset, and then right when the sun gets to the bottom, I stop. I did not know about the reversing direction. What that does is it gives me an incredible vertical sunset image. So I do panels vertically instead of sideways.
Well, I hope next time you'll show us some of those.
Man,
next time you got to show us some of that stuff.
I'm looking.
I want to see your
right
sunsets.
Now. I'm looking.
I want
for
to come
right
to
now.
Hawaii tomorrow and shoot some sunsets with you. What do you think?
Let's go. It's cloudy this week, though.
Oh,
because of the rain. But
no, the weather is never bad in Hawaii. You know that. Let's talk about tagging. And I think Angela, if she's still there, she might have a few thoughts about tagging in MyLeo. But we'll talk about tagging in the Apple Photos app. Too many people are scrolling all the time looking, trying to find a specific photo. And if you're willing to spend a little bit of time categorizing your stuff, you will have a much easier time finding your stuff. So like, for instance, if I was going to take a picture of Doc right now, I open up in the camera roll and there's a little eye button. And I click the I for information, and then there's a little picture of him right underneath there. And then I click it, and I tag him with the name, and then it will find all the pictures that I've done of Doc. Now, that's one way of doing it. The other thing is I usually make albums. I make lots of albums. You just, you highlight a bunch of pictures, and then you go to the share menu, you create an album, and that way if you're looking for the wedding, for the birthday, for pictures from a Hawaiian vacation, whatever, it's a lot easier to find them. Doc, what's your take on tagging?
I do tag a lot. Just normally it has to do with the GPS tag, right? And I remember to put in my friends and family because it helps me find them again. But normally I'm just using GPS tag because I do, like you, travel a lot. I can just type in my phone, Kyoto 2022, and I got all my Kyoto pictures in one spot, right? Or I can type in, you know, Nagoya 2022 or 2017 or wherever, and I can find those. So really, really, really helpful.
Well, Angela, if she was with us, would tell us that in MyLeo, you could connect your phone and your tablet and your computer and the images from all over and tag them and just do Kyoto, and they'd be coming from all different places. Right, Angela?
Yeah, she's here. Here's what's cool. I just started, so I haven't put it on my iPad yet. But that is my weekend project, Angela. So I am watching, you know, videos. And you just did yesterday or the day before, like a 31 or 51 minute video getting started with MyLeo. I swear it was either yesterday or the day before. So I have it on my things to watch with a single malt.
Okay, Angela says we're going to love the new smart tags in MyLeo that are coming later this month, which I am looking forward to seeing. And
thank you, Jeff. You got me on the MyLeo thing, so this is all you. And after you mentioned it and we talked about it, I got on a plane the next day. I get to Vegas, and I saw Red, who I haven't seen in years, and we were saying, he started showing me, and I had my jaw on the carpet. I was like, dude, this is so good. So
Thank you, Jeff. It's a small world. It's a small world here. Headshots. So I talked about doing headshots in portrait mode. In portrait mode, there are six different choices, a contour light and stage light. All the way at the end is basically this black and white, and they give you a white background, the type that you should have in a headshot. I don't know that many people are willing to have a black and white headshot. I think they should, because I think they look great. But it does a really nice job of putting in the white background. And yeah, I mean, you could take a picture of somebody in front of red bricks, and now you have a white background. Or you can go into Photoshop and you could take their face, you could take their body out, and you could stick it in front of a white document. That's easy to do. I'm just talking about stuff that you could do on the iPhone. So I think that's pretty cool. What's your take, Doc, on a black and white headshot in today's world?
So I've used it a lot. And I've used it myself for goofing around. However, when I tell somebody to send me a headshot because I need to thumbnail them, I don't like it for the simple reason that on the thumbnail, it's going to mess me up because all the rest are color photo. But I have taken lots of headshots using the iPhone headshot trick because it's really incredible. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, let me show everybody again what everything looks like. So there's burst mode. That's me taking a picture of a young model running up and down the street in Safety Harbor. You can see that she's sharp. The selfie timer that everybody knows about. And, oh, we didn't talk about flash, but we'll get to it. This is tagging. We just talked about how the little circle here and then tag with the name. And then you could. This is the great guitar player, Richard Smith. Manual exposure override. And that's the erasing people. Now, do you all see that? There's this gal walking down the street. I take her picture. I don't want her in my shot, but she's there. And then I click long exposure, and she's gone. That's pretty cool, don't you think?
I think that is so amazing. I got to remember to do that, especially here, because I get rainbows practically every day. And you're taking this great rainbow picture, and then all of a sudden somebody just walks right in the middle of it. And I'm like, okay. So now I'm going to try that because it comes out.
Yeah, I said, what are you doing in my shot? So look at portrait mode. Look at where I took a picture of her in front of white bricks and how clean this shot is with the white wall.
I'm gonna pull up this monogram photo that I did with it, and I think this, like you said, this view is so good and it's so underrated, and people forget about it. Look, I love this shot.
Hey,
this shot was so cool, and it just comes up.
And the letters are not backwards, right?
No.
Yeah.
Because I am actually a card carrier member of the Red Sox Nation. So, yes, it comes out really cool. You can get some nice, what's the word we're looking for? Emotional pictures? That's not right, but you know what I mean. You can actually feel the picture.
Okay. Roy has a question. What is Mylio? Mylio is software that encourages you to back up all of your photos and have access to them through the same cloud controls that you get from iCloud and SmugMug and other places. But you also get your physical backup, which is what's different from using the other services. You are encouraged to have multiple backups. So you have your Mylio backup, and then you get access to them at the same time. Cloud backup is wonderful until it's not there, until the company says, we don't feel like doing it anymore, and all your pictures are gone. Now, that hasn't exactly happened, but Amazon has been doing some things where they had an Amazon Drive, then they didn't have an Amazon Drive. They don't charge for returns. They're about to start charging for returns. So you want to have access to all your photos at home and other places. So Mylio is currently $10 a month. They're about to come up with a whole bunch of changes that Angela will tell you all about at some point, and I'll be telling you about them as well. And Roy, you could check out, I think Angela did an episode of the iPhone Photo Show with me, so you could look that up, and she'll tell you all about it. Changing the crop. I think that is so cool that you could take a picture at 4:3 or 16:9 and take it square, or take a square photo and make it 16:9. That is totally hidden, right?
Yes. Now, here's something that I did. And here's crazy. How I found this out was a couple years back, IG made it so that you could put basically 4x5s. What they mean by 4x5s is what we called 8x10s back in the day. I have no idea why they changed it. It's the same thing. But 4x5s just looked better on the wall. Before we Instagram got video on your master wall, scrolling through, you noticed some pictures were bigger. And I was like, how did they do that? So I found out from a friend of mine, and he says, oh, you have to submit your pictures at 4x5. So I would always go into the iPhone and use the built-in crop to make it 4x5. And from there, it just worked. Whenever you would post that way, because your image is slightly bigger on the wall, it would trigger people to stop the scroll, and you got a better look. So remember, go in there, and you'll see right next to 916, there is a 4x5. And the only thing you have to remember is when you post it on Instagram, press the little thing to make it in big and fully. And then
square. They don't do square anymore. They used to. It used to be a square photo.
They used to. Yeah.
Yeah. I like square.
And that's the reason why the 4x5 would catch your eye is because you saw square, square, square. The minute you saw one that wasn't square, whether you meant to or not, you stopped. You don't know you stopped, but trust you me, if somebody was recording your scroll, you stopped every time.
Yeah. I want to remind everybody we're open for questions, so please have them come in. The editing in the Photos app, which surprisingly people do not take advantage of. The Photos app is really, there's a lot of good tools in there. I think the best app is Adobe Lightroom Mobile. I like a certain slider in there called Dehaze, which is amazing, and it always darkens the sky and does some really wonderful things. We've got Greg here who's saying, just tuning in, thought I missed it, thought it was on earlier today. We are not. We are live now, right, Greg? So thanks for being here from Toronto. The Apple Photos app, they have all these sliders starting with the magic wand that's like an automatic thing to make your image brighter, and it goes all the way across. There's, I think, 12, 15, 16 tools there. They're all pretty much the same. They brighten the image. They change the contrast, they make the colors richer. I use the wand and I use the blacks one. And I usually make the blacks one go all the way up to make the colors richer. Those are my two favorite. What's your take on editing, Doc Rock?
I use the edit function a lot. What I often do is go in and I'm pressing the magic wand first to get a baseline, and then I'll go in and tweak it because certain parts of it, I guess, you know, doing its machine learning, it can be overly aggressive on some and cautious on others. So I like to hit that baseline and then go in and adjust every single one of the settings practically. Another thing that I like to do for Instagram or places where I'm going to share and you want to, again, just trigger someone's eye subliminally as I'll hit it with a vignette because, again, no one else does it. So right. When you have that little teeny vignette, people stop and they don't know why they're stopping. There's something about this image they can't figure out. So now if you guys jump in and grab a vignette, I also sometimes I like to get in there and adjust a little bit of crops or angles or tilts or things like that.
Yeah, when a vignette, I believe in using it 10%, maybe 10, 15. I would never go all the way. And we're talking about just putting a little shadow around it, around the borders. Yep. It always makes it look really nice, but you got to be sparing on it. Roy says, chopping in the Photos app is sometimes challenging because if you move a corner, it moves everything. To which Makai says, starting at a different corner helps. And then Todd says, is there a way to get the geotagging that my iPhone photos have to show up in Lightroom Mobile? I don't know the answer. Do you, Doc?
Yes, 100%. Of course I know the answer. It's my job. No, when you go to share a photo, like if I wanted to pick a photo out of my library and guarantee share it, when you go to press share, there is a thing like if I was to go and do a, what's that word, AirDrop? There is a button inside here, like if
options,
I go here.
Options.
And you hit the options. And when you hit options, one of the things says include location. It's right there. So that's semi-automatic. Yeah. But I also use include all the photo data. That will make sure you're getting all the info that you need, and it just works better.
Yeah, and when you're trying to do a raw photo and you don't press that button, you'll get a 3 megabyte JPEG. But if you do what Doc just said, you'll get your 26 megabyte photo. Greg says, that the Brilliance slider in Photos is brilliant. It can change the aesthetic of an image quite nicely. Thank you, Greg.
True story.
Greg is a great photographer, by the way. I'm always amazed at his stuff. And so I thank Greg for being here today. Doc, again, we're more questions. Keep them coming. Tell everybody about yourself. You have, it's been great getting to know you because you're my new best friend because we're the same. We're gearheads. We like to talk in front of a microphone. If I said to you, Rode has something new, you're going to get as excited as I am, right?
100%. 100%. Yeah.
Tell everybody what's on your desk right now.
Stream Deck Plus, Loop Deck, Stream Deck 32, Rodecaster Pro 2, DJI microphones, a Mac Studio, three different Thunderbolt hubs because I connect that many things, Insta360 on a PGY Tech, another Insta360 link as my overhead camera, Sony ZV-E10 here, Sony ZV-1 over there, and yeah, like I am, oh yeah, and something new, Secret Scroll stuff, from a manufacturer I can't mention. So okay. That's what's on my desk. And like three iPhones.
Doc encouraged me to paint my wall. It used to be white. And he told me that if I got a specific shade of gray, I'd be able to splash color onto it. And I said, what color is that again? Winchester gray at Sherwin-Williams? And he said, yes. And I went and bought it and I painted, and doesn't it look better? It doesn't look as cool as his setup, but it looks a lot better than my setup used to look, I think.
It's just a matter of I'm using, like, I have a grid on my light so that any light that comes from here, it doesn't go back that way. So that way I can control the light. But most people would never know that in my studio, I have 18 lights. But, you know, that's my video background kicking in. And, like, to make that dark picture in the car, you know, when people are in the car and they're having a conversation and they're talking about, oh, we're going to sneak in and catch the murderer, there's probably, like, 10 lights in that car to pull that scene off. And most people right. don't understand that because it's dark, right? You think because it's dark, light, just like in Photos, you're not controlling light, you're controlling shadows.
Yeah. Makai says, can you watermark pics on iPhones? You will need an app for that. There's a watermark app. I think it's just called Watermark. Greg, if anybody would know, it'd be Greg McMillan. I know there's no way of doing it within the Photos app. And SmugMug, which is my sponsor, they will put a watermark on your photo for when you share it. So
it's funny you said there's an app for that. I'm just cracking up in my head because that was the slogan at one point. Hey, there's an app for that.
There's an app for that. Tell everybody about Ecamm. Okay, so to many people, they say, okay, I'm going to go live. I'll just click the button on my phone or I'll click the button on my computer and I'll go live. And you guys say, no, you need software for this. Why don't you tell them why?
So it's funny, we started out as a live streaming software, and I think that's what most people think of us as. I think of us more as a virtual production studio for your computer, because one thing that's really, really, I guess you're just more control, right? So I have my camera set up. I can switch between multiple cameras. I can have a guest come on, like Jeff is having me come on today. I am able to record all of these cameras simultaneously so that if I do want to edit or make clips in order to promote the show on social media, I have access to all of that stuff. So we bring what used to be a multi-million dollar recording studio to your Mac. And it's like OBS, but OBS is very gamer-centric, and many of our users, they don't want to spend the time to think about that. So we simplify the process because we're a Mac app, built like Mac app. We only will ever be a Mac app. And we just make it so much simpler so that you can look your best and spend more time on the content side, not on how do I make it do all these things side.
Okay. Well, if you want to do an interview with somebody, you're going to need software. You're going to need something. You
can't 100%.
You need something for that. If you want to have both your people in two little boxes like we have right now with the blue background, you're going to need software for that.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Correct.
I mean, you can go live on Zoom. You could go live on Zoom to YouTube, but what are you going to miss?
Here's why you shouldn't. Most people don't realize this. Zoom caps out at like 360 on bad internet connections and 540 on good ones. 720 if your internet is absolutely screaming. It won't even do 1080 unless you email someone and tell them, hey, I know you guys are sandbagging. Can you turn on 1080? And then they'll turn it on. But you have to actually request it. So in a day and age when we're trying to put out our best quality, but again, have a strong enough piece recorded to your drive that you can use that to generate clips so that you can promote your show. You don't want to have those problems. So I stream to YouTube in 4K, even though most people are going to watch it at 1080, but that means that my video that I go to chop up, it's like shooting raw. I have basically way more info that I can use to chop up and zoom in and do all other kinds of cool stuff. So yeah, Zoom also mucks with your audio. It just makes your audio quality really bad, and we don't. So Zoom is great for what it's for, but not really for live streaming. You shouldn't record podcasts or stream out of Zoom.
Okay. I can make and we're just scratching the surface today. The two of us are being seen on two little boxes with a blue background and a little logo at the bottom of the page. If Doc was my producer, what would this look like right now?
I was going to say something really mean, but in the nicest way.
But it's okay.
If I was your producer, this show would look a heck of a lot better. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to do a real simple one right now. And just because I said that, I have no idea where I put my phone cable. Normally, for your phone, right, instead of having to show people like this, I would actually plug the phone cable in. Because we're going to see the phone as a camera, and so I would just put it on screen so you can see what you're doing, and you can physically show people things directly off the phone, right? That kind of cool stuff we can do. And yeah, there's just so much more. I mean, but you've got the basics down, and you did it really quickly. Like, you've been messing with this for, what, 3-4 weeks? Yeah. And you're doing it, and you're doing incredible because you started producing. What a lot of people do is they get it, and they're like, I want to make it perfect before I go. And there is no perfect in live streaming. Just get that out of your head. It's always something goofy happens.
What I hope is what we should do is come back in a few weeks and do my show, The Doc Rockway, and we'll put in some bells and whistles. What do you think?
Yeah that would be so cool. That would be so cool.
Greg has an answer. Greg has an answer to watermarks. You can do it in the photo apps. When editing, tap the markup icon and add text to the image. You can select the font, style, color, and size and place where you want on the image. I think that's a pain in the butt, but it is a solution. SmugMug, it's just automatically there, and in the Watermark app, it's automatically there. But thank you, Greg, for the suggestion. Greg, do you do this? I'd love to hear it. Okay, we talked about here's another one from Makai. What's the best way to prevent others from using your pics without your permission? It has happened to me. It's almost a losing battle. You can put borders around it. You can put your name on it. What would Doc do in this case?
No one's going to like this, and I'm really sorry about this, but one of the first people I met when I was doing photography just as a hobbyist was Trey Radcliffe. And I spent a long time with Trey when he was staying out here in Hawaii. And Trey had the idea, you know what? Chasing copyright is such a pain in the butt. I don't care. When someone steals my image, I'm going to just see it as flattery and call it a day. It's a pain in the butt. And so I just don't bother. If someone steals my image, they stole it. It's flattery. I know it's an abundance mentality versus a scarcity mentality. I prefer the abundance mentality. If they need it that bad that they got to steal it, let them have it. Yeah. I'm going to make my money back someplace else anyway. So go ahead. Sorry.
I just say it's a losing battle. So I don't think it's something to worry about. I could also say that, you know, I'm a working photographer and I do events every weekend, and the clients have an opportunity to buy prints and they never do. Because why? They think they make screenshots of everything I give them. And that's just the way it is. But they pay me well when I do the job. Right?
Yeah. So I agree with you. It's just such a freaking losing battle. And the one that's funny to me is, having met Alaya in real life, having seen his shot that's a Mount Fuji shot. It's a very specific Kawaguchiko Mount Fuji shot. I have seen it in so many things in Japan. And then for Eli to show me that he took that photo, and I know exactly the shot, because it's never a deviant shot. It's never a different verse. It's the same shot. He showed me the OG on his computer. And I was like, bro, your photo has been stolen like 1,000 times. And I even started showing him products that I knew were actually using that shot. And it's just funny. And he's just like, yeah, I just be flattered by it. I gave up chasing it.
Okay, Greg says that he never watermarks, but he's added text to photos for illustration purposes. Yes. I think I would go to Photoshop for this. It's just a lot easier. That's just me.
You know, it's really good to do that on a phone. And it's an old app. It's funny. And hopefully it doesn't completely die. But you remember Sketch?
No.
It was Evernote bought it and kind of mucked with it a little bit. But Sketch is really good for adding things to a photo, text, and drawings and things like that. And now the Mac equivalent, I know it's a photo show, amazing app. You should definitely look at it. It's called Shotter, Shotter. It is the coolest. It is a screenshot app that just does amazing stuff. And then once you check it out, you're going to be like, oh, well, I'm so glad I learned about that. That is amazing. Shotter.
Okay. Well, you know, you'll hear about paint, what shade of paint to buy from a doc, and you'll hear about what apps to buy as well. He's a life changer. Okay, I think we're going to call it a day. Last call for questions. It is Cinco de Mayo, and I know Doc wants to run out and get a margarita or something like that.
Actually, I only like whiskey nowadays. I used to be into all kinds of drinks. I don't like anything in my alcohol but ice. I'm really weird. I'm really weird now. I think that's called getting old.
Okay.
Sugar and alcohol don't mix to me.
Have fun celebrating in any way that you like to do. Thank you for being here. Please, let's do this again. I want to do it the Doc Rock way, though. I want to see what fun stuff we're going to do on our next installment.
So here's what's actually cool about this. I can design a show for you and just send it to you. And all you got to do is double click, and it will show up on your computer, because we have the ability to transfer setups and profiles and things. So, yeah, I can design something cool for you.
Okay, but it'll only be cool if you're there with me.
I'm coming.
Right?
I have to. I'm just going to come and hang out.
Yeah, Google just decided to talk to me about that for some reason. You know, everybody knows you. Okay, let's go through the various things, how they can keep in touch with you. First of all, we talked about photography today. Where do people see your photos?
Mostly on IG. I'm still kind of sharing on IG. I am realizing that I have to get back into just doing more photos for photos' sakes. I have been doing a lot of photos for content's sake, things to add into a video, like still B-rolls. And so I have put myself on a mission to go get a camera with non-changeable lenses that doesn't shoot good video, for the whole purpose of just shooting photos again, because I miss it. I became a content creator, in which case everything is a video. And so it's messing up my photography side. But yeah, follow me on Doc Rock on just about any social media. And if you have tech questions at all, I love doing it. I love helping out. And come check us out tomorrow. I'll be hanging out with Frederick Van Johnson on my channel.
Oh, okay. That's at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning?
Yes. Well, it's 11 o'clock your time. Yes. Yes.
Okay. And what are you guys going to be talking about?
Using AI to help you with your content creation.
Okay, sounds good. Frederick's the greatest. Greg enjoys you on Mac Break Weekly, Doc.
Thank you, Greg.
Just one little quick follow-up. You talked about a camera with no video. So when I do the PhotoWalks TV episodes, first thing is video. First thing is I got to do great video, but I also have to do great photos at the same time. So I'm sort of like going back and forth. It's a very interesting thing. Doc Rock Instagram, Instagram.com, Doc Rock. Ditto for Facebook, Twitter, and on YouTube, it's youtube.com/DocRock. Just quickly tell everybody about the various shows you're going to do every week. So Saturday at 11 Pacific time, you have a show on YouTube, and then you do other shows during the week as well.
Yeah, so Saturday and Tuesday is basically the same show. I'm really helping out, I say Gen X creators, Gen X Plus, because a lot of us, we grew up in the, don't talk about it, don't say anything, be quiet, sit down, shut up, unless spoken to generation. But we have the best stories to tell. And a lot of times if we would stop being scared because we were taught to be scared by somebody else and tell our stories, you will inspire other people to get out and tell theirs. So I have this mission to positively impact the lives of 1 billion people. And there's no way I can do that unless I teach our generation to get out there and start sharing what they know and tell their stories. And it just builds community around that. So my show on Tuesday and Saturday is about helping creators with a little dust teach them how to, you know, get out and start telling their story. So how blessed it is for me to finally get a chance to, like, even help you when you've been doing this all along, but I'm helping you style it out a little bit and, like, you know, make your job simpler so you can create more. And that's just something I'm about. And then on the rest of the time, I'm normally doing stuff for Ecamm, either master classes, like hopefully one day we'll have an Ecamm Mileo master class, and then my Ecamm demo every Tuesday. So I'm live about 6 days a week. It's kind of crazy. And doing Twit on Sundays, every couple of Sundays, and doing Mac Break weekly. Whenever somebody, you know, is injured or actually working, I'm the relief pitcher on Mac Break weekly for now. So it's kind of fun.
Okay, cool. Well, check out Doc at all those places. You know where to find me. If you haven't subscribed to the newsletter already, jeffersongraham.substack.com. Please watch PhotoWalksTV on YouTube, youtube.com/PhotoWalksTV. I have new episodes all the time. I've got to start editing some new ones. Columbus, Ohio is coming up soon, and then the Central Coast. I'm going to be filming the Central Coast this week, so I'll have a bunch of episodes from there. And I want to thank everybody for watching. It's been fantastic. Just thanks for being here. And I'll see you next week.